I want you, all right, to guard the guy that's hurting us the most.
It goes right to the official.
In this section, we'll be taking on officiating, how it impacts parents, coaches, players, and the game. And since we're all human, we're not perfect. And even though we want officiating to be perfect, it never can be. Just as team sports are games of mistakes, officiating is the same way. Officials with whistles. Officials with whistles.
Yeah. Well, you know, I have this poem, and it goes like this, and I always share it with parents when I do little meetings with them in the preseason, and I always tell the kids when I have clinics in the summer, camps in the summer, and it goes like this. Kids want to play, play, play. Coaches want to practice, practice, practice. Parents want to win, win, win. And officials want to quit, quit, quit. And it's true. I mean, I when I talk to officials and I share that with them, they all laugh. They say, you're so right. So, you know, one of the things that I think we've got to address today in all youth sports is the inability of being a fan in the stand and accepting, all right, the fact that they're going to make mistakes. So I thought it would be a great topic for us to touch upon. You know, I mean, you tell me, Guy. I mean, there's no contest today in youth sports where there isn't some arbitrary official making a decision about, you know, our child's actions. Good, bad, missed, indifferent, non-call decision. What do you think?
Absolutely. Officials are the thing that parents most remember when they go to a basketball game, especially in high school.
Mm-hmm.
Youth sports, yeah. And there's a reason why these kids that are officiating youth sports are officiating the fourth grade.
Well, you know, the thing that I've always thought would be novel is that if parents were required to have to officiate one game, okay, in basketball, all right, starting the basketball, not umpiring. You know, some of them do the timing for swimming. Perhaps, you know, being a judge in volleyball. But correct me if I got that position wrong in volleyball. You know, the ones that have the flags in the corners?
Okay. Linesman.
Thank you, linesman. Linesperson, because I've seen women do it before. But anyway, think about this. This is really novel. If a parent that signs their child up for basketball, whether it's boys and girls, CYO, select team, rec league, whatever, and they're required to officiate one game each season between the ages of 9 and 12, think about the anxieties that that individual would have, male and female, mother, father, all right, grandparent, whatever, whoever is responsible for supporting their son or their daughter in that activity, basketball, they've got to officiate. Can you imagine?
And videotape it.
Ooh, you want to talk about E as an entertainment, you know, and now you're going to find all of a sudden parents realizing that, gosh, you know, I can't believe, you know, how, you know, difficult it is to be able not to be distracted by what people are yelling out. And I think that would have an adverse effect in a positive, constructive way, an adverse effect on how they act in their children's activity.
Oh, and they'd be humbled.
Yeah, they would. And then try to imagine. It would set them up, you know, as they get older. You know, the 7th and 8th grade and going on into high school. You know, now they have an understanding of behavior in the stands towards officials. And they have better appreciation for it.
They're a lot more accepting.
Well, you know, I just...
That would be the hope, that they'd be a lot more accepting of calls.
And I think they come away, inevitably they come away and think, I would rather sit up in the stands and yell from my vantage point, you know, as opposed to be down and taking hits, you know, from a mother. What are you doing?
Well, and the other thing is they'd find out how well they don't know that particular sport.
Well, yeah, exactly.
They don't know the rules.
But, you know, I think about it growing up as a kid back in the day. I mean, it's part of Americana, you know. That's a national pastime to yell at the officials. You know, I remember, kill the umpire. Get glasses. You can't see. Mm-hmm. You ever use that thing in your mouth, buddy? Take one of the peas in your brain and put it in the whistle, you bum. Yep, all the above I have heard over the years and have forgotten a lot of them also. I mean, it's really funny. I was kicked out of a couple NBA games. Yes, even me. And it really wasn't for, profanities as much as it was for, I think, the novelty of my humor. I mean, I'll give you an example. No, I call it words of discourse. One of them, and I have about three or four of these officials, these moments in pastime. Hey, Ronnie, next time stand up and make that call, you smurf. All right, got a T on that. And then there was another one, Bill Sarr, great guy. Great guy. But, he was in the last year of officiating the NBA. We're in Philly. I'm coaching New Jersey. And he never got across half court. I mean, it was like he was refereeing the men's league, of Masters, where the official just goes from, top of the key to top of the key on the sideline. He's not going to get under the basket or anything like that. And this was when we only had two officials. And I go, hey, Bill, you're getting paid to work both ends of the court, not one. I got a T for that. And then there was another one, Steve Jobby, who 2 days before Valentine's Day, because I was making a comment to another official, not even swearing at him or anything like that, or, just reminding him that call it both ways, all right? He whistles me for a T. And I jump up and I go, what? And he walks over to me and he says, yeah, I just called a T on you. And I said, for what? I wasn't talking to you. And he said, doesn't matter, you're distracting me. I said, you got to be kidding me. And then he gave me another T. We got a dead ball situation. It's timeout. I'm on the court. Gives me another T and says, you're out of here. And I said, for what? And he says, you're on the court. I said, it's a dead ball. I said, what do you mean you kicked me out of the game? And he goes, yeah, I kicked you out of the game. And so now he's walking towards me. I said, I want to get my money's worth. And so he's walking towards me, and there's a bump, okay? Well, it ended up I got suspended for a game, okay, because it looked like I had bumped him, where I didn't. He came towards me with the ball. It later turned out on videotape, they had a replay. He stepped on my foot. I wear a size 13, what did I say? So anyway, he stepped on my toe, and he lost his balance and then walked around me. Well, one of the all-time great, great, funny things out of it was that Bill Fitch, the head coach at the time, was watching this whole thing, and he was upset because the officials were really inconsistent. I mean, Charles Barkley, it was his last year that he was playing, second to last year that he was playing in Philly, and he just had his way. We're in Philly, there aren't many fans there, and so anyway, I get tossed, and so I go into the locker room. And I get the ball boy, give him $10, say, go get me a couple hot dogs and get some popcorn, all right, and come on back. So anyway, the kid goes out and gets it, comes back, and I'm getting down to watch the game because they have TV in the locker room there. I'm getting down to watch right. The rest of the game. And I see Rick Carlisle, who's currently the coach of the Indiana Pacers. He's the other assistant coach. And I don't see Bill, and I'm looking up there, and all of a sudden the door opens, and in comes Coach Fitch. And I go, Coach, what are you doing? And he says, I didn't like that SOB either, and I let him know. And he goes, oh, I see you got me a hot dog. So we both sat down, okay, and we were talking about how bad that guy was, all right, but also how nervous Rick was that he had to take over, and he couldn't sit down. And we had a bet as to when would Rick sit down. We were getting beat by 20, but when would he sit down and finally realize that, he didn't have the game in hand. What I'm saying is that there are certain situations in our nature when we watch sports that part of growing up, all right, in America is that you're always going to have some question about a call. And so what I try to do now, okay, and life is a great template for experience, okay, and knowledge, new knowledge. And what I try to do now is I try to help parents visualize before they go to a contest. And I say, imagine you're getting ready to go to a game, and you think about the fact that, there could be bad calls. Think of it this way. You get in a car, you get on the freeway, and all of a sudden, there's an accident. And you're like, oh, no. And you hit the steering wheel, and you're upset, and you're fumbling with your cell phone. You're trying to call because now you're going to be delayed and you got a meeting. And just, every negative thing that you can think of is coming up at this point in time. And it's something you don't have any control over. But one thing that I know is that you do have control of visualizing things, okay, that may occur, may happen. You accept it, and you move on. And so I really believe that if we have the opportunity to, as parents, to understand it is what it is, okay, expect the unexpected, there's a better chance of being able to enjoy your son or daughter's activity. I'm going to send it over to you. What are your thoughts on that? I jump with a lot of things here.
I like the expect the unexpected, especially at the youth level, because these officials, you know, from ages grades 4th through 8th, they're learning the game just like the kids are. I mean, they're learning the fundamentals of officiating just like the kids are learning the fundamentals of footwork. What I would ask you is, as a longtime observer of this kind of thing, is that what do you do when you know, I mean, you've got a lot of experience, I've got a lot of experience, I know the rules of the game, but you know the officials don't know the rules of the game.
Now, wait a minute.
No, fourth grade official who's a kid, a kid's probably 15 years old, he doesn't know what the one-on-one is.
Well, wait a minute. No. The requirements for being an official, the fourth, fifth grade, sixth grade, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They got to fill the form out with their name and address, okay? Email address, phone number, zip code, okay? If they pass that, okay, they get the strap, okay?
Okay.
Now, part two of that application form, okay, is have you ever played basketball? And they mark yes. Now they get a whistle, okay? Part three of the application is when they get the little P that goes on the whistle. Do you understand the game of basketball? And they go, they check that off, yes. Now they have an opportunity, they're signed up. And you know what, guy? I mean, I'm being facetious about this, but you know what really bothers me today? Is just what you said. I remember back in the day when I was growing up, officials were older people. They weren't young people. They were people that were semi-retired. They were in their 50s, in their 60s, and they worked the fourth and fifth grade games, okay? And you showed them respect as a kid. You didn't argue with them. You didn't complain.
Right.
All right? And there was a reverent respect for them, okay? And I don't remember parents, you know, in my generation back then, yelling at the officials like they do today. And so I think that there are older people that say, you know, I don't need this abuse. So now we've had to recruit younger people, a demographic that necessarily isn't prepared, all right, technically, like you're alluding to,
mm-hmm.
to work the games. But where's the alternative? Well, I think we ought to get the parents to do it. And I actually introduced down in St. Vincent Grenadines, one in the West Indies, on one of the islands where I did clinics last year, because they had this problem with coaches getting all over the officials, and officials actually quitting in the middle of a game. They just walked off the court, got in the car, and left. And can't go anywhere. They're on an island. But, I mean, they left. They went, you know, away from the contest. And I told the coaches when we had our coaches meeting, I said, you know what? If you really want to bring the level of play and competition up and it to be consistent and respect for the game, then I think the officials need to, and I'm talking about the junior level, all right, the elementary, mm-hmm, middle school, mm-hmm. and high school level. I think the coaches need to officiate the game before they coach. And I think that would really deter, okay, any misconduct, mm-hmm. by coaches, mm-hmm. okay, or players. And it will bring about more respect. And so they implemented that this year, and they've had great success. They've had a couple coaches that quit coaching because of the negativity associated with, you know, officiating, because they didn't like the abuse they got, and it carried over. So I really think that when in the final analysis, when you take a look at youth sports today and you take a look at the expectations that parents have, you know, for their kids and with their kids, because kids have expectations too, you'll find that it's real easy to point a finger and blame if they don't have success.
Right. Well, I'm just wondering, I asked that question about what do you do, I guess how to phrase it would be, how do you help an official that's ill-prepared? Case in point, they got in the bonus situation, the other team. We fouled. We didn't play very good defense. We fouled the heck out of them. They got in the bonus situation, and all of a sudden the scorer's table says 1-1, bonus. Well, the two officials out there didn't know what the bonus was. And I kept, you know, they kept yelling out at him, and they're looking at him like ignoring the scorer's table, like, oh, they're going to take the ball out of bounds. And so I said, it's a 1-1. And I could tell that they didn't know what they were doing. And so I called a timeout to go out and approach him. Now the other coach comes out and he goes, what are you doing? What's going on here? He wanted to be involved. I just wanted these guys to know what the 1-1 situation because I don't think that they do. And by the way, your team is the one that's going to benefit from this right now, because you're in the 1-on-1. The coach didn't really know what it was. And so I burned a timeout to educate them. I thought I was just trying to help. And I've had to do this a couple of times, and I feel like I'm stepping into the game, and I don't want to do that. So I guess my question is, how can a coach help an official without stepping into the game? Now, you had a great suggestion for me a couple of weeks ago that I wanted to share. The fact that maybe you select a captain on your team to go out and talk to the official, even in the fourth grade. Or maybe have that person that you designate as a captain say to the official, excuse me, sir, my coach would like to talk to you for just a minute. And I think that's a terrific idea. Your thoughts?
All right. Two things. One, that tells me that from an organizational standpoint, all right, their checklist, page 2 was not covered. All right, the proper training and education and instruction of mechanics for officials, whatever age they are, whatever qualification, they've got to go through specific training to understand the rules of the game. The other thing is the coaches themselves, okay? The coaches have to take responsibility for learning the rules of the game, all right, and teaching their players. Mm-hmm. And so I know this past year, 90% of the coaches, out of 600 coaches that I trained, 90% of the coaches have never read the rule book, and about 80% of them were familiar with the rules, but not, you know, to the youth level standpoint, because most youth leagues have certain sets of rules, you know, in terms of substitutions. You can't press if another team right. is up by certain points and what have you, or you can't play zone defense.
Right.
You know, play
all great rules.
Yeah. So here's what I would do, all right? Without anybody knowing it, in your next game, I would take a piece of paper and put up there, all right, for officials only, okay, and then put the name of the select team or the select league, the program that you're under.
Right.
And just, you know, for officials only. And bold print, you know, probably 16-point, underline it. Points of interest, reminders, just on the little things that you've seen so far that they're not familiar with. And then, but you do it when nobody's at the scorer's table. And then when you come over to give your team, you look at it and you go, oh, have you given this, you know, when you talk to the scorer, you know, the clock, you know, the timer. Have the official seen this? When did this come up?
That's good. I like that.
Huh?
Is that?
Yeah.
I like
now,
that.
Imagine. Okay. Now they come over, and by the way, this was left on our table from, you know, one of the people in the league here. and so now they're reading it, and they go, okay. So now they know, they might think somebody's up there observing them. Okay. And so it isn't so much a fear, but they realize that, okay, here's some bullet points that they have to remember and look for. So I would do that, all right? And I'd always bring one every game from there on out.
Is this what you did when you were with New Jersey when you got the tee?
No.
For the officials?
No. No.
No, that's a good idea. It's a good idea. I like
because, that. You know, in the NBA, the officials really are dependent upon the services of the official scorer, you know, for regulating fouls and, you know, making sure that the, you know, the penalty is right and, you know, who got the foul, the number, you know, and recording it. I mean, that's all done by hand. It's not done, you know. Technology where it is, yes, you know, you do have laptops. You'll see it on the court side, okay, the scores table, you'll see probably a dozen laptops. But the official core, the scorer, is always notating everything by pencil.
That's right.
Yep. All right, so you want to wrap this one up for us, Doc?
Well, I think we've at least berated NBA officials a little bit, which is always a pretty good thing. I think that parents, I like your point about parents officiating, getting down there, and even if it's a scrimmage in a practice, because they probably couldn't do it in an official capacity, I think is a terrific idea. I think every parent should find out how much they don't know about the game and how fast the game actually is as they're watching it. Because even in the third and fourth grade, it's a fast game. It just keeps moving.
Oh, yeah.
And your eyes can't keep up with it. Right. And you've got to respond with a whistle. All of a sudden, it's a minute and a half later. You can't make that call. So I think that would be a wake-up call to folks, parents in particular. And then, calling officials out. You know, some of the stuff that you said that you've heard is unconscionable. And I would hope that other parents would step in and, you know, knock on the guy's head.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, McFly. Can we tone it down just a little bit here? It's a little loud.
No, that's a good point. Because that in itself is really distracting to the kids, the young kids on the bench, whether it's boys or girls. I've seen kids turn around to see what parent was making that comment, you know, in the first couple of games, like, you know, shocked, you know, that of the things that they were saying towards the official. Well, imagine the impression that was made at that point in time in that activity. You know, listening to a parent, you know, disregard the rules of the game for his own or her own satisfaction. You know, the rules of the game are going to be enforced. Parents, you know, will never agree on offensive fouls. You know, if their son or daughter has the ball,
right?
Because they react to it. Okay, they'll always when their son or daughter drives to the basket, and there's just incidental contact, and they miss the layup. Oh, come on, you got to call that foul. What are you doing? You know, I mean, it's just I get so tired of parents and their gyrations, you know, and their antics with young people because they're taking pictures. And so this is the impression they see. And that's why I think it's up to the coaches, their demeanor and their behavior on the sidelines and how they act, because the kids are watching them. The kids are already anxious, but they're watching the coach and how he reacts to certain calls. You know, and then if the coach makes a derogatory comment about the official, comes back to the bench and goes, that guy doesn't know what he's doing, da da da. Now you see the kid, you know, comes off the bench, goes in the game, is called on him. And he goes, you don't know what you're calling. And so the official says, what do you mean? He says, my coach says you don't know what you're doing. You know, and it's actually happened. I mean, I've had officials tell me that. But I got one anecdote to share with you. That's all time, okay, regarding officials and situations, game situations. Abe Lemons, the late Abe Lemons,
mm-hmm.
probably one of the most novel, funniest coaches ever to be on the sidelines in college basketball. Just a humorist, okay? He's the Will Rogers. He was the Will Rogers, mm-hmm. all right, of college basketball. He's coaching at Texas, and University of Texas, and this is back in the early 80s. Early 80s or late 70s? I think it was early 80s. And he's getting blown out in a game. They're on the road, and I think they're probably playing A&M or Texas Tech, one of the others, but they're not playing very well, and he hasn't been very fond of the work the officials have done. And so there's about 3 minutes left in the game, and the whole time, you know, the coach has been talking about how complaining to the officials, you're killing me, you know, you're killing me, you've got to make that call, you're killing me, you're killing us. And so he calls a timeout, brings his team over, and he tells this one player, he says, listen, next time we go out on the court, I want you, all right, to guard the guy that's hurting us the most. And so the kid's looking at the score. He's, you know, they're down 20, 25 points, and he's trying to figure out, well, they got their subs in. What are you talking about? And so He says, okay. And he says, now, the guy that's hurting us the most is that guy right over there, and he's pointing to the official. And he says, when that ball goes in, I want you to guard him. I want you to match up on him. Wherever he walks, you go with him. Get your hands out, get down the stance, and you slide right with him. All right? You understand? I want you to do that. And so the kid, you know, he listens to the coach. He's going to do what the coach says. And so anyway, ball's put in play, and kid goes right to the official. He's in the back court, and he's, you know, official's trying to move into the front court, and he's guarding him. And so the official blows the whistle and stops the play and says to the player, says, what are you doing? He says, my coach told me to guard the person that's hurting us the most. So the official calls a technical, all right, on Abe Lemons for that action, for that antic, all right? And so as the story goes, you know, I mean, Abe found humor in how, instead of embarrassing himself, okay, he wanted the official to know exactly, you know, what was going on in his mind and how he saw the game up to that point with 3 minutes to go. So I thought that was a pretty good example of how you can use humor. And I've heard other times where coaches have asked officials if they would get a technical for what they think. And, you know, this is a Big Ten coach, very well known. And the official goes, no. Well, you can imagine what he says. You know, the coach says, well, I think you, da-da-da-da. And, of course, he got a technical on it. But anyway, that's a back-in-the-day reflection story.
I think that's a great point. Use humor with officials when you can, as long as you find them to have a sense of humor.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, if I were working a game and somebody yelled out to me, hey, Newell, take one of the peas out of your brain and put it in the whistle, I'd probably start laughing. I'd probably choke on the whistle, you know, because, that's a novel. That's a novel comment. All right. Enough of that.
If you're a parent who's interested in getting involved in officiating, which is always a great idea to understand the game a little bit better, I would encourage you to contact the league in which your child is playing in, or contact groups like the Boys and Girls Clubs or YMCAs in your area.
Thanks for joining us. If folks listening have a question or comment on this or any other Family Sports Life Today episode, please give us a call and we'll try to use this in the future. We're at 206-202-6224. That's 206-20-COACH.
And please visit our website, FamilySportsLifeToday.com. You can listen to this program online or subscribe and download to your iPod or other MP3 players. We have information and resources there for parents, coaches, and kids.
Thanks again for listening, and take care. Have a great day.